Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The words we heard this morning, written by the apostle and evangelist St. Matthew, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, make it very clear that both Herod and the wise men knew exactly who they were looking for. Not simply a newborn Jewish monarch, like those who had reigned centuries earlier in Jerusalem, but the Christ, the Messiah, one whose birth was marked by a very special star rising in the east, one who is worthy to have men from all nations fall down in worship and adoration before him. The wise men knew this. They knew whom they were seeking. Now, Matthew tells us that these wise men were from the east, which means that they were from Persia or from Babylon, somewhere around there. You may also know them by their name in Greek, Magi. It's from that word that we get the English word magician. Could be that they were astrologers, that they believed that the planets and the stars and the heavens above controlled human fate. They could have also been sorcerers of a type, those who once practiced what the small catechism calls satanic arts. They could have been philosophers, seeking and pursuing all human wisdom and knowledge. Whatever the case may have been, they were, at least at one time, pagans. But upon the sight of this special star, and note that it is a star, not just any star, not a comet, not a meteor, not a confluence of planets, but they say his star, the King of the Jews star, upon that star, they left their home to seek out this child, to worship him as their one God. So the wise men knew who they were seeking. They were seeking the Christ. And Herod also knew whom the wise men were seeking. Now, we know much about Herod, both from the scriptures, yes, but also from sources outside the Bible. He is known as Herod the Great, and he was great in many ways, in political skill, in many public works of beauty, but he was also great in wickedness. He who had been declared king of Judea by the Roman Senate in the year 37 BC executed one of his 10 wives and 3 of his sons as well. He also committed many other cruel and unnecessary murders, not least of which we read about a little bit later in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, putting to death the baby boys of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, what we call the death of the holy innocents. This Herod assembled all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, asking not where a new king would be born, but where the Christ was to be born. Where the Messiah was to be born. And so again, the wise men, Herod, they both knew that they were looking for the Messiah. Not just any old king, but the Christ. How did they know this? Well, the same way you do. They knew this through the Word of God. It was because of the Scriptures that the wise men knew that the star they saw rising in the east was not simply some brand new star, but rather the king star. A bit of history. Centuries earlier, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had invaded Judah and taken many of the people there captive to his own land. And in their time of exile, those faithful Jewish people spoke of their hope that God would, in his time, raise up the greater son of David, one who would reestablish his throne, but not just temporally, but rather as an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom to which all nations would come. Perhaps the wise men's ancestors learned from these Jews. Maybe they even learned from Daniel himself. One of the passages they probably learned was from the book of Numbers, the prophecy of Balaam, which states, I see him now, but see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. The Holy Scriptures foretold the coming of a great star, a star hailing the birth of the newborn king, the Messiah, the King of Kings. And so because of this word of God, the wise men knew that the star that they saw was not just some exciting astronomical event, but much, much more significant. And so at the rising of that star, they set out to worship the child who had been born King of the Jews. But this too came because of the Holy Scriptures. These wise men, at the prompting of the Old Testament, went forth to seek the child and to worship him as their own king. Perhaps they even heard what we just heard a little bit ago from Isaiah chapter 60. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. From this word, they, like Paul, received insight into the mystery of Christ, revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, like the wise men themselves, they too would be fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. These wise men believed, according to God's word, that the King of the Jews, Israel's promised Messiah, would be given for them as well, and given for all people, that he would be their king, and the king of all nations too. And so when they saw his star when it rose, the Holy Spirit through the word of God enlightened these wise men to confess the newborn king as their king. And so at the prompting of the word of God, they went forth to worship the Christ. But they still needed more of the word of God. They assumed, perhaps reasonably, that the King of the Jews would be found in Jerusalem. But he wasn't there. Again, they needed to hear the word from Micah that from Bethlehem shall come a ruler who would shepherd God's people Israel. And upon hearing that word, they believed it. And they went forth, following the star until it came to rest over the place where he was. But Herod and all the chief priests and the scribes, and indeed all Jerusalem with them, who had the very same testimony of the prophets and patriarchs, who knew where the Christ was to be born according to the Scriptures, they did not wish to go with the wise men to Bethlehem to worship the Christ along with them, despite Herod's lies. Instead, the Scriptures tell us their hearts were troubled. Herod was so concerned with maintaining his own earthly power and kingdom, and the others with keeping Herod calm, that they rejected the Christ child. They rejected the king whose kingdom is not of this world. They rejected the Lord of whom all men and women are subjects. But perhaps even more than that, Herod knew that the Christ, the King of the Jews, was also appointed to judge both the living and the dead someday. And Herod the Great's conscience most certainly was not clean. Again, it was by the word of God that both Herod and the wise men knew that the Christ had been born. But Herod rejected him. The wise men worshipped him. They believed him. They trusted in him. And so by faith, the wise men set out from the east when they beheld the star when it rose, in order to come and worship the one who had been born King of the Jews. By faith, when they heard the word of God that testified to Bethlehem of Judea as the birthplace of the Messiah, they went forth to their place. By faith, they followed the star until it came to rest over the place where the child was. By faith, they opened their treasures and offered him those most valuable gifts of gold and frankincense, just as it had been foretold by the prophet Isaiah, along with the gift of myrrh. By faith, these wise men fell down and worshiped the child, not only as the King of the Jews, but as the King of all creation. By faith, they fell down and worshiped that child because they believed that he was their king, their Lord too. The wise men acted by faith, faith born from the Word of God. Today, the same Word of God has been presented to you, has been spoken in your hearing. It has been preserved to you to this very day. Not only the word that the wise men and Herod and the chief priests and the scribes in Jerusalem had, the prophecies of the Christ to come, but you also have the New Testament, the eyewitness testimony of those who heard and saw the Christ as he lived and died and rose again, all of which, Old and New Testaments, are inspired by God the Holy Spirit, and therefore are authoritative and perfect and even powerful unto salvation. This is the word you hear. How do you receive it? How does it come to you in your hearing? Have you received it like the wise men, rejoicing exceedingly with great joy? Or have you received it like Herod and the religious leaders in Jerusalem with a troubled spirit? Too often, it's the latter. Like Herod, perhaps we perceive that the Christ threatens our reign, our authority over our lives. Maybe it's the law of God, with its absolute standard of right and wrong, that condemns you with the pleasures and the pastimes you enjoy. Or perhaps it's the divine service, which stands in the way of what you would like to do with your own time on Sunday mornings or Monday evenings. Maybe it's the testimony of the Word itself that speaks of miracles, that teaches doctrines that cannot be accepted by your reasonable mind. Whatever it may be, the Word is often received by a troubled heart and a burdened conscience. There's a Herod in us all, what we might call the old Adam, who would gladly exterminate Jesus in order to remain on the throne, doing whatever I determine to be right, spending my free time to do what I want to do, following what I believe to be true in my own heart. Dear Christians, drown that old Adam. Cast that Herod off the throne of your heart. Repent. For the child born the King of the Jews is the King of all creation. Whether you receive him in faith or reject him in unbelief, he remains King. Rejection of his commandments, refusal to bow before him in worship, even disbelief in his word and work do not nullify his reign. His is not a democracy. He is not elected by popular vote. As we confess, the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself, even without our prayers. Or as we chanted earlier, the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. For as we confessed before, he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And therefore, Jesus is King. Whether you are a wise man falling down before him in worship, offering him gifts, or a Herod plotting his demise. Yes, Jesus is King, whether you believe in him or not. But remember that Jesus is not a king like the kings of this world, for his kingdom is not of this world. The kings of the Gentiles may exercise their lordship over their subjects, forcing others to worship them by their power and might. But Jesus is among his people as one who serves. You might remember this is exactly what he did on the night of his betrayal. He served his disciples. He knelt before him. He girded himself with a towel in order to wash their feet. As an example of the greater humility, the greater service that he would offer the very next day, when he bowed himself unto death, burdened under your sins and the sins of all people, the sins of Herod, the sins of the wise men, the sins of the Jews, the sins of the Gentiles, all sins, every last one. All hardness of heart, all rebellion, all disbelief. All this Jesus took upon himself, the King of Kings dying for the sins of his people, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. Jesus is King, but not to lord it over you as the kings of the Gentiles do, but rather to love and to serve you. Jesus is King, and as King, he is the one who bestows the most infinitely valuable gifts. Gifts greater than gold and frankincense and myrrh, as wonderful as those might be. No, the gifts your King gives to you are gifts of forgiveness. Forgiveness of all your sins. Life. Eternal life with him. And salvation. Rescue from death and hell. Jesus is King. And by God's grace, through faith, born by the word of God you hear, you are made an heir of his kingdom and share in that kingdom of heaven. To be sure, that kingdom is not apparent in all its glory yet. Just like the wise men did not enter an opulent palace in the capital city in order to worship him who had been born king of the Jews. The kingdom comes now in humility, hidden. But all the same, it is surely present. Just as surely as Jesus is here. Just as he was surely present in that humble home in Bethlehem long ago. You can be sure of this. You can be certain. How? Again, the same way that the wise men were certain that the infant Christ would be found in Bethlehem. The Word of God. Just like the Word spoke to those wise men and told them that the star heralded the king's birth, just like the word told them that from Bethlehem would come a ruler who would shepherd his people Israel, so the word speaks to you today and declares to you that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. That word comes to you and tells you that he is here to strengthen your faith unto life everlasting. His word is here, calling you to take and eat, to drink of it, all of you, for this is his very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. His word declares to you that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. Truly, Christ our King is present among us now, and we are his people, and we rejoice exceedingly with great joy. So once more, hear the word of God today, which declares, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Follow the example of the wise men as they left behind their pagan lands to seek and to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to bow before him and to worship him, not as some foreign monarch, but as their king, as their Lord, as their God. You, like the wise men, find Jesus exactly where the word declares him to be. In the means of grace, in his word, and in his sacraments. Behold, the Lord, the ruler has come, and the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. Let us kneel before him and receive the gifts he gives to us today. For he gives them to us as his heirs, indeed as his brothers and sisters. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our brother. He shares in our flesh and blood. In whom we all, regardless of our background, we all have boldness and access with confidence to God the Father. We have come to his light. We have come to the brightness of his rising. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.